Different messages. I mean, sometimes you're like, woo-hoo. Other ones are like, that's what you want to do? He's like, yeah, that's what I want you to do. So my job is to be obedient to him, not to make you happy. And hopefully, he's going to lead us there at the same time, and those things will match up. He's going to give me something to share with you, and in the end, we're going to be happy. Not to where I want to put the name of this up, but I'm just telling you the name of this sermon is growing. We'll get there. Let's pray first. Father God, I just ask you to bring your Holy Spirit down in this place right now. Use your word, use your Holy Spirit to lead us and grow us to be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I need to do is I need to carry you back. I had to look back to see what it was myself, but it was from February 24th of this year. The sermon that I preached was I'm Not Worthy. And that sermon was about for us to put down that I'm not worthy and believe what God says, who we are. Not who we think we are, who we feel like we are. So if you remember that, I'm going to have to put it back up here, but this is where we got to in that sermon. That we're reconciled in his presence, holy, blameless, without sin or fault, born again, imperishable, chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God, anointed with the real anointing and love. So that message was confirmation that he gave me to give to you about who we are in Christ. Instead of who we think we are or how we feel we are to know who we are in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I want to show you this video, and it's about 5 minutes. Ready to do that now, Steve?
Sure.
Can you turn down the lights, too?
Oh, no.
Did you guys see that? You're gonna give me your best. What if God asked you that? You're gonna give me your best. That movie makes me cry every time. You didn't think we were really gonna get by opening day at the NFL about something. The Cowboy game's not till 3, so everybody's all right.
So we can go till 2?
2:30. I'll tell you a little bit later about that. Notice while he had the blindfold on, he had more to give than he thought he had. And while he was given more than he thought he had to give, his teammates went from making fun and laughing to pointing to being amazed. Brock Kelly didn't even know what he was doing. Gotta be the 50. Gotta be the 50. You're in the end zone. He can use you bigger than you. You have more in you than you know. So, Rep, we don't preach last week about the gospel. How we have to make sure we have a real gospel. Not using the fake gospel or a partial gospel, that we have the real gospel, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ who came and died for our sins. Once God has given us the faith to believe that, pretty amazing how Sunday school is tied into this morning. There's a miraculous exchange. That miraculous exchange is God takes our evil nature and places His Holy Spirit in us. That doesn't mean our evil nature is gone. Galatians tells us that it's always a battle between the spirit and the flesh. So, once we have come to faith, the rest of our lives is spent being transformed into look more like Jesus Christ. Now, I can forget the beautiful, wonderful, awesome things that He has done in my life. I can forget that my job is to be transformed and look more like Jesus.
Yes.
Say the wrong thing to me. Give me that look. What's up? I'm probably the only one, right? So, the only way that those way that those times that I'm losing it get further and further apart is by me being more and more grounded in Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to have the power over my words and my actions, my thoughts. The more I'm able to do that, the more I'm able to surrender to the power of God through the Holy Spirit that He's put in us as believers, the better I'm going to be a representation of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now I have a lot of scripture to get through this morning. So let's do it. I want to start with Psalm 139. It's only 24 verses. You think you can stay with me that long? Okay, here we go. Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. When I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise up on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days that were named for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me. You who are bloodthirsty, they speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I could preach a whole sermon on verse 21 and 22 of this. David wrote this, by the way. King David. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? Even with him saying that, I bet if I were to be able to sit down with David today, really, you think you hate your enemies? So who is one of your biggest enemies? Well, Absalom, his own son. Did he hate Absalom? Saul was another one of his worst enemies. Did he hate Saul? He didn't hate him. He was a little afraid of him, but he didn't hate him. But that's not where we're going today. That's just what I thought of when I read this. He loved some of the ones who you could say were his biggest enemies. But Saul was after him. He didn't hate Saul. Absalom was after him. His own son was after him. He didn't hate Absalom. He prayed for him. He called out. Absalom, Absalom, would I have died for you? So the one I want to focus on is 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. So, God, look and see what's in me. What's in me that you don't like? What's in me that you want out? If it's good enough for David, it's good enough for us. It's in the scripture for a reason. We need to have this attitude to God. We need to ask God. It's not the wonderful things that you're doing, opening the door for a lady, and you know, it's not the good things that we have to really work on. Good to work on growing those, but it's better to work on eliminating the things that separate us from the image of Christ. What is it that's standing in your way from doing like that young man did? Give God your best. What's in the way? Search me, O God. So he's asking God to search me. Well, then I want to go to another scripture. We've been in Romans for a while now on Wednesday nights. It took us 5 weeks to get through Romans 12. Actually, I want to back up one step. I want to read that one more time. I want you to hang on to this. This is asking God to look and see. God, what is it? Where am I messing up? Where am I lacking? Where am I off track? He's asking God to look at it and tell him. Now I'm going to read Romans 12. It's another 21 verses. Are you with me? Can you stay with me 21 verses? Huh? Okay, let's go. We'll get to that part in a few minutes about what we need to surrender. Oh, you can't tell where I'm going with this, are you? Hang on. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. It's okay. I'm going to show mercy. I love you. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's at least 10 sermons in that. Probably more. But the one I want to look at this morning is verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Psalms, saying, look at me, God. Romans, saying, look at yourself. What is it in you? I'm not going to use them all this morning, but I want to say these are all other scriptures where the Bible tells us to examine our ways. Matter of fact, Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let's return to the Lord. Now, if you read that chapter in Lamentations chapter 3, that's about the best stuff that's in there. The rest of it, really bad. So if you think God tells you to look at yourself, really bad. Sorry, what he said, not me. He's the one that says we need to check ourselves. In 1 Corinthians, there's two verses that are real close together, 11:28, 11:31. 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5. Job, 13:23. What's that?
Too fast.
I'll give it to you afterwards. Psalms 4:4, 119:59. Galatians 6:4. What I'm trying to present with that is I want you to know there's a lot of places in God's Word where He doesn't say, you know, you're doing good, come on, you're just fine. He said, look, grow, search. What is it that's in the way? Where you look like Jesus is wonderful, thank you. Where you're helpful and giving and kind and loving and serving, where you have those, you think it's because you're such a great person? Then you got the wrong attitude and it's worthless. If you think it's because God has shown you His grace and mercy, and it's because you're forgiven and you're so grateful to God that He could love someone like you, you're on the right track. Humble gratitude is much better than prideful ego.
Amen.
Prideful ego will get you wrecked.
Yes.
Don't ask me how I know. Or what is the thing that they're saying on Facebook all the time? For a friend. From a friend. I have this information from a friend. It's from me. Probably one of the most often things that I hear about who I am in my preaching, about how honest I am with what I say, about how I'm willing to use my broken to say, this is Richard. This is Richard with God. That video, I told you we'd get back to it later. I've been really struggling with work. It's been really hot. I'm a door-to-door salesman. It can be frustrating. People can be mean. It was about 5 o'clock, 102 degrees. I've been working for about 3 hours in that had 4 decks. And I figured out if I walk all the way to the top deck, I could get over the winded from walking up all those stairs before I headed back down. So it's easier walking down than walking up. So I've done that a few times. And I'm like, you know what? I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I want water. I got some cold water in my car. And I go sit down in my car. I'm like, God, I'm so dumb. Had enough, it's high, I'm quitting. And then this scene comes in my mind. Don't quit, don't quit, keep going, give me your best, keep going. I'm like, really? Yeah, don't quit. He meant really. He was using that scene from that movie to tell me don't quit. We were talking in Sunday school about little Samuel hearing God, not realizing it was his voice. I realized whose voice that was. And I knew exactly, I had a decision to make. Am I going to do what I want to do, or am I going to do what he said to do? All right, Lord, I won't quit. Drink 2 bottles of water. I was sweating. And I went back. And I met this lady. Some of you have met this lady. It seems like the Lord sent you. She was so thankful that it made me so grateful that I didn't quit. There's good chances that we part of some of the ministry around here. She's been here about 5 minutes. But she didn't have the money to even replace the ministry around here. And she had $1,000 left in the car. So she was like really stuck. So God sent me to help her. And God sent me for her to help me. So double. God's a multitasking God. He uses certain situations for multiple purposes. I can tell you there's people here today that haven't been here before. There's people here today, He's sending. There's people here that are serving that haven't been here very long. God is doing some amazing things in this church right now. Not that He hasn't always been, but sometimes we don't see it if we don't look. So I listened to Him that time. But at the same time, he's given me this sermon to teach, to preach. And it's called Growing Pains. The growing pains were me. Well, he didn't read it. And now the growing pains are going to be for you. If you let it. If you let it. Because I guess the question, what is it that's holding you back? Is it sexual sin? No, that's not exactly what he said. Let me back up from that. Your guilt is the same as if you had done it. You are convicted by your thoughts. He did not say the way to do it. He said, if you think about it, it's like you've done it anyway. That people are helping you straighten that out. I could have been in big trouble. Is it your anger? Last time you let your anger release you. Did it help you? Did it make your relationship better? Did it make you feel better? Not a good thing. Did it hurt your relationship? It's making things worse. Do you think you need to lay down your anger? Are you judgmental? Can you look at someone and tell just how rotten they are and all their issues? Can you take someone's inventory just from looking at it?
That's easy.
You think you can? How many times have you saw a person's clothing and thought about them this way? Or saw how they did their hair? Or whether they had a nose ring? Or whether it was two girls holding hands. How many times has something like that put you in a position to think you are God, that you get to judge them, condemn them to hell, or cast them away from you? Your judgmental attitude gets in the way of Jesus Christ moving in relationships with others.
Amen.
You think your judgmental attitude is something that God would want you to have? You think you might want to think about laying that down at the cross? About gossip. Usually, in the Baptist church, we call it for everybody. Did you hear about so and such and such? Well, he's great. Well, you don't think God hears your prayers? You think it's something so big that you need to share it with others that someone else is caught in sin? You know, Scripture even says that. If someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore them. But watch yourself. Amen. You also may be tempted. There's scriptural ways of dealing with people caught in sin. And it's not, hey, in this church on Sunday, there's sinners. I missed church last Sunday. What's that? What's the sign up for that? Only sin of worship. Does the church I'm sure none of you have been guilty of gossip. You think gossip is something we need to lay down and pull the cross and ask God to help us? Sloth. Don't worry. One of my biggest faults is I'm so busy, acting busy. So many things, so many irons in the fire. But somehow I rationalize and justify doing nothing. I mean, sometimes kind of to another level. I think it's supposed to be dark. But I'll take it to another level. Are you lazy? You know, Lonnie, he's a real hard worker. For him to shut down is reasonable. How about Lonnie? Ooh! Do you eat too much? I even joke about eating too much. I tell people all the time, you know, when I go on a cruise, my number one goal is to eat my way even on a cruise. That's how I'm paying for my food, I'm eating enough food. And then I'll turn around and make another joke about it. I'll say, so you know that really full feeling when you feel like you've eaten too much?
Yeah.
I just push right through that. There sure is a lot of evidence to say that's a really dumb decision. Long diaries, diabetes, bad on your knees, bad on your feet.
Quit talking about me.
That's the Holy Spirit, brother. I'm just denying that. Pray for it. I have to be honest. There's nothing on this list I haven't heard. No. And there's a lot more on the list. Hypocrites. Coffee. Cigarettes, snuff, sugar. This is what I'm on. I have been one of those who've been totally convinced that I can't drink alcohol. Matter of fact, I found out I'm allergic to it. Whenever I drink alcohol, I break out in anger. Some people can have a drink every now and then. Half a glass of wine, ooh, I'm a little tipsy. I need to stop. That's not how I drink. If that's how you drink, congratulations, you made it. You can still have a drink every once in a while. It's not that big a deal. It's not an issue in your life. But if you drink because you want to feel better, because you want to feel different, that's not a good reason to drink.
That's right.
If drinking causes problems in your life to be bigger, might not be a good idea. You think you're drinking is something that you should lay down at the foot of the cross? I know I did. I haven't had a drink or used drugs since March 15th, 2004. That's only by God's blessing. That's only by God's blessing. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that without him. I couldn't go a day. Didn't want to go a day. Marijuana's been my friend since I was 12 and alcohol since I was 7. That's how I live my life. I don't want to be that guy anymore. Because I put it ahead of everything. I'll put any of these ahead of everything. It only has to cross my mind that I want some relief from something, and I'm going to find something to bring me some relief. Do I let it get in the way of who God wants me to be? Sometimes. Do I let my anger, my judgment, my gossip, any of these things? So, what I want you to do right now, you may have already been doing it. I want you to close your eyes while the band comes up. And I want you to do something for me. Close your eyes. Envision a mirror right in front of you. Imagine you're looking in the mirror into your own eyes. You are looking at yourself in the mirror. Is there anything that you see in that mirror? Examine your ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. Is there anything that God sees in that mirror? We looked at both those this morning, didn't we? Psalm 139 says, the Lord search me. And we also looked and says, we're supposed to search ourselves. So I want you to do that right now. I want you to ask God to search you. And I want you to search you. And whatever it is in the way of you looking like Jesus, ask God to help you get it out of the way. And if you would like prayer, the pastor's going to be right down front.